This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter Rosenberg!
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
So I hate to disappoint, but it is not Peter Rosenberg who is in on ENN tonight. Andrew Gundling filling in for Peter Rosenberg. ENN is delivered by DoorDash. Sign up for Dash Pass from DoorDash today and try it for free for 30 days.
Yeah.
Michael, what's up? How are you?
Happy birthday, boo.
And Don LaGreca, how are you?
I want to punch this guy square in, like, the ear.
Still never found out who it was.
Oh, by the way, he got in contact with me. So he listens to the show a lot on the podcast, and he thought it was hilarious. He said, I'll call, and he said, let Don try to beat me up.
So that was Friday, right?
Yep.
That's right.
What was it exactly that happened? I've only heard little bits and pieces.
Don lied on the air.
Okay.
Remember, Don told the story about how... you know, A-Rod had said to him, Don, wait, I've got to ask you something. He said, Don prefaced the story by saying he had gone to a Yankee game because it was Jeter's final year and that, you know, he went into the clubhouse and A-Rod called him over and a friend of mine, and he knows Don well, he's in the business. He said, really, Don's a filthy liar because Jeter's last season, A-Rod was suspended. He was never in the clubhouse. He wasn't allowed. And Don didn't take well to it.
Well, and should I, Andrew?
Well,
that something that I misremembered becomes a filthy lie?
So, to speak for Don.
Of course.
Just because, so Don may have gotten the timeline wrong, but the point of the story was that A-Rod called him over specifically to talk to him, which I still believe happened. Maybe it didn't happen in Jeter's last year, but that was almost irrelevant.
Yeah.
Reveal yourself to me.
It's a garnish to a beautiful steak dinner. It's like it's a meaningless part of the story. Now, but I get called a filthy liar. Okay, that's fine. And I reacted and said I wanted to punch this guy in the ear. He has not revealed himself. Michael won't say because he's gutless. And
I'm not gutless. I'm a good reporter.
Yeah, but the guy never said don't say it. He wants to call in, so why don't you tell me who it is?
So this
you can sniff my socks.
So wait, this is a person of note that we've heard of.
Yeah, of course, yes.
Somebody that we heard of, somebody that knows me. I said, Michael, send him my number and have him text me. I want to know who it is. Nothing. So who's the gutless puke?
Andrew, I have a question.
This could be Aaron Boone for all I know. I don't know. But you know what? You should tell me. Reveal yourself. And Andrew, don't you think he should tell me who it is? The guy never said it was on the QT. He said he wants to call in. So, Michael, why don't you tell us who it is?
I won't do it.
Huh.
Andrew, did you partake in any legal boobange in Denver?
I prefer not to answer.
Oh, wow.
There's no reason for me to answer a question like that.
Now, if he was to purchase an edible in Denver,
right?
Is he allowed to fly home with that said edible?
Or
he has to consume it there?
Well, it's legal in New York, too, right?
I know, but you might be. But can you transport it from one place to another? I don't know all the rules.
Andrew, did you transport it?
No, absolutely not.
Well, the only reason you wouldn't answer a question like that is if, in fact, you partook.
That's not true. That's not necessarily true.
I'm
just going to leave you guessing.
I would bet millions of dollars that he did it, and I'm shocked.
Well, it's legal. He might have went to an establishment where...
Well, you know what?
It'll ruin everything.
A brothel is legal in Reno. Would you go if you went there?
Well, he'd be cheating on his wife.
I'm asking you.
By smoking a joint.
He's. Oh, well, you know, I don't even want to get into it.
Well, you're going to compare. Think about. I wish Peter was here for this, Andrew. He's going to compare the possibility that a place where it's legal, that you maybe smoked a little marijuana like
was
on
that
Saturday
a blunt?
Before the game. And compare it to seeing a prostitute in Reno.
But I'm just saying, Don, your defense was, well, it's legal. Well, I'm saying prostitution is legal in Reno. Would you do it? No.
No, because there's other ramifications besides the legality of the event.
Right,
the ramification?
So that one
it's
has
legal.
An effect on...
It's a business transaction.
But it has an effect on other people.
Who?
Yeah. Well, your wife.
You don't have to tell her.
Why, you know what? I stand by the whole arrangement thing. If you think you can get away with that and just tell your wife it's just a transaction, then it's
No, I'll get the Don defense. It's legal.
Because it's two different things. the reason, there's multiple reasons why you wouldn't go to a brothel on the road. Not just the fact if it's legal or not. There's other ramifications.
There's other ramifications than doing the bunch.
None.
All right.
Andrew, what would be the other ramifications? Would you go? Would you tell Amanda that you smoked?
Yeah.
Well, then there's no ramification there. It's perfectly legal. So I don't know what the ramifications are. Going to visit a prostitute legally has other ramifications. Like, what do you tell your wife? Your comparables are ridiculous. You're very talented. But you are a busher when it comes to making comparables.
Wait, a butcher or a busher?
A busher.
Wow.
Minor
Andrew,
league.
Please, go. I know you're stoned because you took the early morning flight.
Let's see. A lot to talk about from Week 10 in the NFL. And we'll start here in New York, which has really kind of emerged, I guess, as the biggest story in the NFL today. And that is the... Are we in a full-blown feud now between Rex Ryan and Robert Sala?
I think this is chest-to-chest, nipple-to-nipple. That's how much they hate each other.
So, excuse me? The Jets' defense has been a mess of late. They're the first team since the 66 Giants to allow 45 or more points three times in a four-game span.
Holy crap.
So with that kind of as the backdrop, Rex was on his weekly spot with DiPietro and Rothenberg earlier today, Mondays at 7:30. And the former head coach teed off on the current head coach, Robert Saleh. Here's Rex.
This is a horrendous defense. You know, now they're going to use, well, we never had our safety. So what? Everybody has a million injuries, let alone an above-average safety you're missing. I remember playing without five corners. It never looked like this. I think we were fifth in the league that year in defense. This guy's supposed to be a defensive guru. I heard everything, and I take it personal on this one. Everything I heard about was, well, this guy's a lot like myself, but without the bad part. Yeah, well... some of the bad part you need, because this team doesn't play with any damn heart. That's the thing that's disappointing to me. And don't ever compare this guy to me, this Robert Saleh to me, because statistically, one time they were like a top defense, all right? Here's one thing they're going to be familiar with. 4 out of 5 years, the 49ers were dead last in their division. So he's going to be dead last again. So he's used to that. So to me, I'm a little pissed off about it when I hear that this guy, you know, his background's a lot like yours. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. And quit trying to tell the New York fan base that he's going to be, you know, he's going to be like me as a defensive-minded guy or whatever. I had a clue of how to handle a rookie quarterback. I also never got my butt kicked like this, you know, in a four-game stretch ever, even when I never had corners or whatever it was. Never made excuse and never put a product out there like this. So I'm sick and tired of it. The Jets need a hell of a lot better effort from everybody, from coaches, players, you name it. They need a better effort.
I'd like to ask Rex, who actually said he's you without the bad stuff? And it wasn't Robert Saleh, so why are you being so vicious toward Robert? I get it. Well, I love the fact that you're honest, but I've never, ever heard coach-on-coach crime to this level, ever.
And even like little subtle digs, like, you know, finishing last 4 out of 5 years, and you know, he'll be used to that. Like, a little shot there. And then who did Robert Saleh make the excuses about the injuries?
And also, did Robert Saleh say, I'm just like Rex, but without the bad stuff? I mean, he's attacking him like he's the guy who said it.
Exactly. Now, I completely understand if Saleh, in his press conference when he was hired by the Jets, I'm going to be the next Rex Ryan, I'm going to be better than him, then I'd understand it. But all of these comparisons were made by third parties, all right? And I didn't think it was all that loud a comparison. And we're talking about, it wasn't like yesterday, it was a while ago that he was hired, where those comparisons would have been made. And then he's got to throw in the handling of the quarterback. So now you're not even talking about defense, you're just talking about being a head coach. So we're going to already judge Robert Saleh as a lousy head coach 9 games into his career. I don't know, there's a lot there, man. Again, criticize all you want. We love it. It makes for great radio. But why you take it so personal?
And I will tell you this, there are coaches around the NFL right now that are really, really looking down at Rex Ryan and go, wow, that's not right, man. Because this is a hard job. There's just 32 of them in the whole world. Obviously, Rex wants one of them. But I will tell you, every coach is looking with disdain at Rex, because you just don't do that. You just don't. I've never heard that Robert Saleh is disliked around the NFL. that, you know, that there would be coaches happy that Rex went after him like that. What if Robert Saleh done that would agitate Rex to that level? Again, well, we're not critical. Rex has every right to an opinion, but it came off, as Don said earlier, so personal. That's where it crossed the line.
And so then on this show, later in the day, in his weekly spot on the K-Show, the head coach of the Jets, Robert Saleh, was on and responded to Rex Ryan's comments.
Guys, I honestly, you know what? I've never met Rex. I've never had a conversation with Rex. I don't even know him except for people who know him throughout the league. So obviously, if it's that personal for him, he knows where to find me. So,
were you surprised that he said it?
I'm not surprised by him. He's always got something to say.
That was dripping with hate. And disgust. Wouldn't you agree, Don?
Oh, because he's – it's like the last thing he needs, right, to have to go through this. But he's probably thinking, like, how dare this guy? How dare – because you said it's a brotherhood. And for him to take it personal like that, and I'm wondering, like, I'm sure the Jets were in his ear. Don't listen to it. It's Rex. You know, so I'm sure the Jets aren't happy with Rex and the rest of the NFL. Isn't that a shame, Michael? Honestly, because I like Rex. And I think Rex was a good coach, good defensive coordinator at least. But this is going to end up being his reputation as that guy. Because what Robert Saleh is, like, the reputation around the league is all Rex just says stuff. Don't take Rex seriously. Rex takes things too personally. So instead of really talking about the things that Rex did well, he's become like a parody. And that's just a shame. So
now, help me with the timeline, Don. When he took over Buffalo, that was Doug Marrone's team, right?
Yeah.
They were a year removed, if I remember, from being half away from going to the Super Bowl.
Mm.
So he inherited a pretty good team there and did not do a good job. There wasn't any ex-coaches that destroyed him.
Well, wait a minute. The halfway – no, Marrone almost went to the Super Bowl with Jacksonville.
Yeah, well, so – but yeah, no, so he went to the playoffs, didn't he, with Buffalo? 9-7?
I got to look. I know he had a winning season. I'll look and see if he went to the playoffs.
Because it might have been the year after, because he had a really good season. Why did he opt out of the contract? Because he thought he was going to get the Jet job.
Right.
Marrone's last season in Buffalo, he was 9-7.
Yeah.
Everybody was shocked that he left the job because he had an out in his contract. If there was an ownership change, which there was, and then he ended up not getting the Jet job. And then a year later, I guess, got Jacksonville. But he inherited a pretty good team there and did nothing with it.
Right. And he was 500 his first year there, 7-8 the second year. So he must have gotten he was fired late in the season. So
he got banged in year two?
Yeah.
Well, he didn't even finish. He got banged after week 16. He didn't coach the last game. And he's under 500 for his career, 61-66. And again, those 2 years, right, Andrew? You were working the Jets then.
Yeah.
They were great years. But for some reason, he's just got this chip on his shoulder. And to throw Robert Saleh under the bus, at least according to Saleh, they never even met each other, have no relationship. Weird.
Michael, you referenced earlier Tom Brady and his, I guess you got to call it a sore loser press conference following yesterday's game. I don't know if you've actually heard it. Here was how it started when he walked up to the podium.
Make it quick.
Tom, there didn't seem to be...
I don't know if you could hear that there.
Oh, yeah. Make it quick. Starts... Take a walk. You know what? The media, but they have to do their job. Make it quick. How's this for quick? Get lost.
Well, they weren't thrilled. So he starts it with make it quick. They did. They asked questions. He was very short in his answers. And then about a minute or so later, Brady was finishing up a question and then did this.
Started with the ball. They came away with it, so... Thank you, guys.
So Brady said he ended the question after a minute, said thank you, guys, and started to walk away. And somebody in the media did say that's it. And Brady said, yeah. And
what
that was
a
it.
I'm sorry. I could say this because I'm a Tom Brady fan. What a jerk. What a jerk. What a sore loser, little punk. What an awful thing to do. Stand up there and talk about the loss, just like you stand up there and talk about all the great wins. But you'll be very effusive tonight on radio with Jim Gray, won't you?
There's, you know, it falls into the same category as, like, the passionate fan going nuts. And you go, oh, well, leave him alone. He's just passionate. Well, it's like, well, he's such a winner that he can't stand losing. Well, you know what? You've done a bunch of winning. You got a job to do. Everybody's got to talk to the media. Don't be a baby about it. Just stand up there and answer questions.
And you can't say that he cares about losing more than other athletes. Mariano Rivera blew the seventh game of a World Series and stood there and spoke for an hour. Dennis Eckersley gave up that home run to Kirk Gibson and spoke for an hour. An hour. You can't lose bigger games than that. This is what? The ninth game of a season? And you're going to act like a punk and a sore loser like that? That's an awful look for Tom Brady. And he's done it 2 weeks in a row now. Andrew, 2 weeks in a row. He gave them about a minute the last time, too.
Yeah, and then his coach, Bruce Arians, had a little more to say than what Brady did after the game. Here's Bruce.
Energy and passion is very fixable. The penalties, they got to get corrected sooner or later. First play of the game, we're shifting and we jump off sides. I mean, they don't even run a play and we jump off sides. That's just the stupidity has to go away if we're going to go anywhere. Oh, that has nothing to do with ability. It's all about execution and being a smart football team. We're a very dumb football team.
Oof. Wow. Then on the other side of this, it was a great day for Washington. They come away with a win, but the win came at a cost. Chase Young, torn ACL. He's done for the season. Huge loss for them. Entering Sunday, Chase Young was one of three players to rank top 10 in the NFL in pass rush win rate and run stop win rate among edge rushers since the start of last year. T.J. Watt and Matthew Judon were the others. That's pretty elite company, so that's a big loss for them in a game where they come up with a big win. Cam Newton, he returned to the Panthers yesterday. Didn't play a ton, but certainly made an impact. 3 of 4 passing, had a touchdown pass. 3 carries, had a rushing touchdown as well. So a big return for Cam to Carolina. He spoke after the game about being back with the team.
This time last week, I was eating a bowl of cereal. You feel me? So I told Coach Rule it would never happen again, and it wouldn't. That one on me. But yeah, I mean, I was eating cereal last week. You know what I mean? So that just puts things into perspective.
And now he's back. And now he could be starting. Matt Rule apparently has seen enough. He said Cam is going to take the majority of first-team snaps in practice this week. And then the hope is that he'll be ready to start next weekend.
You know what's weird, though, is the guy, well, I forget his name, the guy who started, Walker?
Was it P.J. Walker? Yeah.
He had a great game.
But Cam was signed to be the starting quarterback.
Oh, I get it, but this guy had a great game.
But he's not Mike White.
Right.
So they signed Cam. They didn't sign Cam Newton to just hang around. They signed Cam Newton to be the starting quarterback until Sam comes back, maybe. Who knows? Maybe Sam will come back and Cam will still be the starting quarterback. He just wasn't ready to go 100% yesterday. But, no, he's – and there's some talent on that team, so I wouldn't be surprised if Sam doesn't get his job back.
I might be wrong on this, but I think they're tied for the last wild card.
Yeah, I believe they are right now.
So, I mean – you're not giving up on the season, and you're not going to bring Sam Darnold back if Cam Newton is playing well. You remember Superman 2 in the theaters. That's what this is. His nickname Superman?
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. Guys, then there's the Lions. They got close. Still haven't won. They didn't lose, but they didn't win. 16-16 tie against the Steelers. Even in a tie, though, they're still on the receiving end of a not-so-great distinction. The Steelers managed to tie despite losing 2 fumbles in overtime, making them the first team to not lose despite committing multiple overtime turnovers. Don, you might remember. Do you know the last time this happened?
The last time it happened.
A team committed multiple overtime turnovers but didn't lose and ended in a tie.
Was it the 7-7 Giant Redskins Sunday night
in 1997.
Yeah, when Gus Frerotte injured his
head. Headbutted the wall. That's right.
Ty's like kissing your sister if she's hot.
I listened to that game because apparently now you can't go anywhere anymore. This weekend, 2 hours, Saturday and Sunday, trying to get into the city. Just to do the rain. Ridiculous. So I listened. I punished myself by listening to that game because that Steeler-Lions game was unwatchable. You can imagine trying to listen to it.
And well, by the way, Andrew,
you already had covered it. It was an 8, so it was already. But I was rooting for a tie. I enjoy them.
Andrew, you weren't here on Friday. You were on your way to get stoned. But
that's not true. But continue. Fine.
When we were making the picks, I picked the Lions with 8 points, and Don acted as if it was the greatest pick I've ever made.
Yeah, it's so much so that we made it our pick against the morning show.
But you didn't pick it.
No.
No, he didn't.
Huh.
It was only gorgeous until
first.
I heard it come out of Michael's mouth. It's so weird. I don't know what it is. You look at these games when you're getting ready, and then you don't get any sense of it until, like, all of a sudden it's time, and then you hear it. Like that, the Rams 49. I love the Rams today. I love it. But yet I'm picking the Cardinals at -10.5. Ignorance.
Yeah, without Kyler Murray, too.
By the way, Jonathan India just won the National League Rookie of the Year. Jonathan India of the Reds.
Okay.
There you go. On this this Lions game, of course, you remember, you referenced it before, back in 08, Donovan McNabb admitted he didn't know that NFL games could end in ties. I kind of thought we had all learned our lesson back then, but apparently not. This was Najee Harris, Pittsburgh's rookie running back, after the game.
I didn't know you could even tie in the NFL. I was, in my mind, I was sitting on the bench ready, saying to myself, I got another quarter to go, but I guess somebody came to me and said, that's it. And I ain't never had a tie in my life before.
That's just dumb. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know how you can play football, follow football, and even like part of the game plan discussion, you think you're going to play on? Come on.
It's also dangerous. What if he's on the field and the clock is running down? You know, and there's no urgency by him because he thinks there's no way that you could tie. I mean, players should know that. I'm not going to jump on because I think he's right. There should not be a tie. You keep playing until you lose.
It's hard.
There should not be a clock in overtime. You keep playing until you lose. Somebody will give up a field goal.
Well, I also think, and I know why they did. They claim they did it because of injuries.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why they added a 17th game, too.
They did it because they didn't want these 1 o'clock spilling into the 425 games. But putting it to 10 minutes, I'm surprised these games don't finish in a tie.
Yeah, 10 minutes is nothing.
Most of the time, right, Andrew, you decided somebody's kicking a field goal with like a minute to go in overtime.
Well, you're seeing the more – I mean, we had one last year. The Eagles and Bengals tied last season. I'm trying to remember if there was another one last year. I do feel like – I don't know, maybe it's in my head, but I do feel like you're starting to see them a little bit more since the new overtime rules have gone into effect.
Did you guys see the – you know, speaking of 10 minutes, the Redskins, the football team against the Bucs. They had a 19-play, 10-minute, and 45-second drive. So, I mean, you could have the ball the entire overtime. You would assume that if you have it that long, you're going to be in field goal range. But just keep playing until the game is over. Stop it. Ties.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Don, I know you would wanted to mention Sam Huff passed away, legendary New York Giant.
Yeah, I realized that, God, you probably have to be, right, Michael, in your late 70s to say you saw him play. But it's still a name that resonates, I think, with anybody that ever even followed the Giants in any way, shape, or form. This guy was on the cover of Time magazine when defensive players were ignored. And he was a part of one of the great Giant eras of all time. Remember how heartbroken my dad was, him telling me about when he left to go to Washington, and my father hated Ali Sherman, blamed him from going, and the relationship
it was
never corrected, you know, and it's really a shame that, you know, one of the great players in the history of this organization, they just didn't really have much of a relationship after he left to go to Washington, did Washington radio for the longest time. So he passed at 87, had a great life, but I never saw him play, but just like the connection I have with my dad in football, when he passed, I can just imagine how my dad would have felt about it. And the great line from my brother, he says, now Sam Huff and dad can be in heaven together and rip Ali Sherman. Although he didn't say rip, he said something else. But it was the exact thought I had when I heard that he passed away. So
you know, maybe you have the answer to this, Don, because I read all the obits on him. Mm-hmm. No one knows why his name is Sam. Well, his real name is Robert Lee Huff. And no one has any story about why he's called Sam. Anybody out there know, please tweet it, because I read the Times obit. I read Vaccaro's story in the Post. Nobody knows why his name's Sam.
Wow, that's incredibly strange. I'm trying to look it up right now as you're talking. But
And the Giants made defense into something. They started chanting defense. It's pronounced defense. We now forever pronounce it defense because of the chants at Yankee Stadium back in the late 50s, and, of course, played in that, you know, greatest game ever played in 58, and just a tremendous individual. It's a shame that he couldn't retire a Giant and have a better relationship. And that there have been other people to wear his number, which is a travesty as well.
And then finally, guys, one last one for you here on ENN tonight. There's some players that or people in sports that trouble just seems to find. And I think Alex Rodriguez might fall into that category. It did not take him very long to get caught up in an NBA controversy. Not a huge controversy, but still enough for the organization to be fined $250,000.
What?
He reportedly, or the team reportedly violated a league rule that prevents teams from arranging or paying for off-season practice or group workout sessions for players outside of a team's home market. According to the NBA, the violation occurred as the result of Timberwolves player activities that took place in Miami in early September. The team had a dinner and workouts at the home of new minority owner Alex Rodriguez in the Miami area in September ahead of training camp, and posts on social media showed this at the time. And so they have been fined $250,000. And that is ENN for tonight, which is delivered by DoorDash. Save money on convenience, grocery, and more when you sign up for Dash Pass from DoorDash with zero delivery fees. You're free to get all your faves whenever you want. Sign up for Dash Pass and try it for free for 30 days.
It's amazing. He gets penalized because he's rich enough to have a home with a basketball court. $250,000. Amazing. Just amazing. All right, we'll come back. We've got a big buffet of things of which to talk about. So you know the number, 1-800-919-3776. We'll take it right up to 7 o'clock. I've got the Knicks and the Pacers. Not going to be an easy game. A three-game homestand for the Knicks. Two of the games they should win, but they have not been good at home. Tonight's going to be tough against the Pacers, who are out with Duarte is not playing today, sore shoulder. And again, Nerlens Noel misses another game with a sore knee for the Knicks. So that's where you stand. 7 o'clock pregame show. It's Kay LaGreca and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN. Andrew, you weren't here on Friday. You were on your way to get stoned, but
that's not true, but continue.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.